Each night, tens of thousands of people sleep in tent cities crowding the palm-lined boulevards of Los Angeles. But a struggling musician from South LA thought he had a creative temporary fix. He crowdfunded $100,000 and built dozens of solar-powered tiny houses to shelter the homeless. But on the morning city officials were gathering to celebrate their new nearly $2 billion plan to end homelessness, police and garbage crews were descending on the tiny homes, ordered by the city to seize and destroy them.
Angeles. Emergency in the country's second largest city.
Problem that's spinning out of control.
Reaching crisis proportions.
Prepare to shelter crisis as the city is overwhelmed by a spike in the homeless population.
Homeless camps are seen everywhere.
She's been living on the sidewalk here for the past 30 years.
What is behind this homeless crisis in LA?
Here in the entertainment capital of the world, over half the homeless population will sleep on the streets tonight, far more than in any other American city. There are 28,000 homeless people in just the city of Los Angeles, and the number has hit new record highs in each of the past few years. But LA Mayor Eric Garcetti has a plan.
This is a bold step forward today for Los Angeles. A year ago, I'll be blunt, the city council and the mayor weren't working together on this.
Garcetti introduced a funding proposal in February that would devote nearly $2 billion over the next decade to getting all LA residents off the streets once and for all. But at the time of Garcetti's announcement, dozens of homeless people had already found shelter in the form of solar-powered tiny houses dispersed throughout the neighborhoods of South LA and beyond.
In Los Angeles, a growing movement is having a big impact.
It's an innovative effort to help the homeless.
Giving homes to the homeless?
They were built by a self-described struggling musician named Elvis Summers.
I got involved with building tiny houses because of a woman named Smokey. She's 62 years old, lives in my neighborhood, and as I got to know her, realized that she was sleeping in the dirt, and I decided to build her a tiny house.
In his 20s, Summers was homeless for stretches of time himself. Now the 39-year-old is trying to help his neighbors who have fallen on hard times.
Some other homeless people came by and asked if I could build them one. I didn't have the money, so I figured, let me try one of these crowdfunding things I've seen out there. I mean, it blew my mind. I think I passed 50,000 in the first week. Total, I've raised over 100,000.
Summers has built tiny homes for nearly 40 people, aided by professional contractors and other volunteers who sign up to help through his nonprofit, Starting Human. Each house costs roughly $1,200 for materials.
The houses I build have carpet, two windows, a steel reinforced door, smoke detector. It's got a solar panel on the roof, powers two light bulbs, and the battery pack has a USB port on it to charge your cell phone, which is huge. An address, American flag.
Summers also equips each of the 6x10-foot houses with a camping toilet and even window alarms. He says they were never meant to be a permanent solution, but unlike sleeping on the sidewalk or in a tent, his tiny houses provide the secure foundation residents need to improve their lives.
You know, the tiny houses provide immediate shelter. You know, the houses I build are very sturdy and safe. People can lock their stuff up and know that when they come back from their drug treatment program or a court or finding a job all day, that their stuff is where they left it.
I got my resumes, my shower stuff. Want to not be homeless. Want to order pizza to my own home. I want a DVD player, man.
He's here to promote, and he's also here to keep on with the propaganda.
But as Summers was building houses, anger in the community over growing street homelessness was reaching a boiling point early this year.
These homes were nothing more than a detriment to mine and my neighbors' homes, families, and children. And they created a sense of terror in the residents.
Nestled within dour tent shantytowns, Summers' tiny houses became brightly colored targets for residents who want the homeless out of their backyards.
They've had the children walking in the middle of the street and not on the curbside when they're going over the overpasses.
Most of Summers' tiny houses were placed on private land that's been donated to the project, such as a parking lot outside a convenience store and a church in Compton. A handful replaced the tents that have proliferated on freeway overpasses.
They're not right in front of a business. They're not in front of somebody's house. And the sidewalks are extra wide. So, you know, it seemed, as far as public places, the safest, best place to be until I could get land and then take them and put them on property, building a small community.
But LA viewed the houses as a nuisance. In February, the city council amended a sweeps ordinance to allow the tiny houses to be seized without prior notice. on the morning of the 9th, police and garbage trucks descended, towing three of the houses to a Bureau of Sanitation lot for disposal.
My phone just blows up by everybody on 42nd Street, just freaking out. Like, they're throwing us out of the houses. They're telling us they're taking them. Like, what do we do? I mean, they wouldn't let them get their clothes or their medications. They threw them out, left them on the sidewalk. I pleaded with them. I was like, okay, well, look, they have wheel locks on them. Let me unlock the wheels at least, you know, so you don't break them. No, they refused. They just wanted to take them and destroy them.
Summers managed to move eight of the threatened houses into storage before they were confiscated, but their residents had nowhere to go.
I had to evict two veterans who paid their ticket. They shouldn't be homeless, period. Just, you know, I get angry. They did their service. They gave up their dreams so the rest of us can be out here and be a bunch of assholes. You know, there needs to be some respect.
Our community was so negatively impacted by these structures that many of us come together to get them removed. We called Councilman Price's office because we needed him to do something about it.
I don't think living in that box is the alternative to having some housing.
Kern Price is the L.A. City Councilman who represents the district where the houses were located and who ordered the seizures.
My main objections to the tiny houses, not really want to call them houses, they're really just boxes. They're multicolored boxes. Is that they're safe, they're not safe, and that they impose real hazards for other neighbors in the community.
People in neighborhoods that are concerned about all of that, their property values and, you know, tiny houses and homeless people in their neighborhood have every right, period, to be pissed off. And I completely agree with them. But, you know, you're misdirecting your anger. Direct it to the powers that be that are supposed to be doing their job. My whole issue and cause is that something needs to be done right now until permanent housing does come available.
I think just a temporary fix is a false sense of security, as would the tent be without any real supportive services.
But to homeless people who had escaped tents and moved into the tiny homes, the security they provided seemed anything but false. After the city's sweep, they were forced once again to call the sidewalk home.
I've been homeless like 2 years.
One of the guys, Willie, who's an engineer who I gave the Red House to, he used to have it right here.
In the house, you feel secure because you lock your door.
After Willie Hadnott's house was seized by the city, he went back to living in a tent above the 110 freeway.
I try to cover it up, you know, as much as I can, but... As you take and cut it with a razor blade, it's not too much security you have at all. You know it's coming. You know that they really don't care for you too much. They said, first thing the officer told me, he said, well, get a job. I said, can you help me get one? I'm willing to work. It's not really hard in those jobs for a 59-year-old man, you know what I mean? I'm 59 years old.
Willie is an ex-engineer. He loves kids. He loves tinkering with things.
And I have a little platform, like a little stand for it, that I built to put this on it. That's a little wooden toy, man. But, you know, some kids would love to have this, man. And I got this out of dumpster, which I really don't like to say, but I do go dumpster diving.
A few days after I gave him his house, he pulled me aside and basically, I mean, he just told me that, like, he was so low and there's just no hope. And he basically was just, he was giving up and he was contemplating ending his life. Finally getting hope, there's a chance, you know, maybe I can turn this around. And then just, you know, having someone come and suck it away from you, you know, it's horrible.
I put a lot into it, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying I wanted a lot back, but I was secure with what I had, my little house, man. My little house meant the world to me, and it still means the world to me.
We've offered housing to individuals who are willing to come in, and you know, frequently the response is, well, I don't want to go to the shelter, I just want to stay here on the street.
There are a fraction of shelter space to how many people are homeless, but otherwise the shelters are dirty. It's dangerous in there, the food is not good, it's got bed bugs, you can't go with a girlfriend, pets, or any of your personal items.
I'm not suggesting that the shelters are the answer. It obviously is a temporary step, an alternative step, but I think it's a better step, you know, than someone sleeping on a sidewalk under a bench or on a bench. I think the way you make it better is having some kind of coordinated services, you know, where you can refer people to the kind of assistance they need, as opposed to giving them a structure, letting them think that they've got it, that they're okay now, because they're sitting in a little box, and that their problems are going to be solved.
You go out and spend, you know, many nights on the street and be treated as a monster, and then be given, you know, a warm place to stay and tell me you're not going to call it a home. When the city took those three houses, they chose to do it at the exact same time that the council and the mayor were at City Hall unveiling the mayor's new homeless $1.87 billion plan.
This is an important policy statement, and I think it's going to provide with a roadmap in a variety of areas.
We are beginning to make a difference, and a difference that is long overdue.
We've identified some action items. And working closely with the county, and so we're working really in collaboration in ways that we haven't before. We have identified a need to come with some funds, a specific number of some funding for a prolonged period of time.
Everything that they have been doing, and you know, doesn't work. It's just years of circles and, you know, bureaucratic holds and wait times, and you know, like, I would like them to care. 10, 20, 30, 40 years, I mean, where's all the housing?
Mayor Garcetti's plan focuses on permanent supportive housing, aiming to build 10,000 units for homeless families over the next decade. But in the meantime, LA is taking funds away from temporary shelters.
The tiny houses are, you know, a cheap, effective, immediate step. And as long as they are, you know, managed in small communities, that would be best. I've almost completed my first mobile shower unit, which I'm super excited to get done.
Currently, Los Angeles owns thousands of vacant lots that could provide locations for micro-housing villages like those that already exist in several other cities, including Portland, Seattle, Austin, and elsewhere.
I mean, not only they could open a few up that have been sitting there for decades that we could build communities on, but open up a warehouse and stop chastising the homeless for collecting the good citizens' garbage. Encourage them. Give them a job doing it.
Well, we're trying to come up with some solutions. You know, we're looking at letting people stay in parking lots, for example. You know, we have people that are in vehicles to park in parking lots. Perhaps that could be a good location for tents, for other types of temporary shelters.
In May, following national media attention, Los Angeles returned the tiny houses it had seized, with their solar power systems missing, on the condition that Summers placed them only on private property. As for Mayor Garcetti and the city council, they scored a success on the November ballot as LA voters approved a $1.2 billion bond measure to partially fund new permanent housing construction, exactly a decade after the city's first 10-year plan to end homelessness withered in 2006.
Every Angeleno deserves a safe place to sleep at night.
The mayor's office says that though the city appreciates citizens' creative solutions to end homelessness, he does not support opening a surplus lot for Elvis Summers or other tiny house village concepts until the city has some more time to study the issue.
Business as usual for me. I'm going to keep building. I'm going to keep helping these people. This can all change. I mean, if people want a beautiful, positive community, you have to build one. You can't just, you know, sweep stuff under the rug and pretend it doesn't exist. If I, you know, can't get through to the city to open their minds, to actually give a crap about what's going on, you know, to the people of our city and create change with me, you know, I'll do it myself then. And with all the support that I do get and everybody that does want to come and contribute, I'll get private land, we'll build small communities, we'll save these people's lives.
I'm gonna be a job here. I just got over walking pneumonia, being out here on the street. I have a friend right here. I do have that.
Yeah, you do.